Israelites, I'm going to ask you to find with me Genesis, the 22nd chapter, this morning. And as I worked through this passage of Scripture, there were a couple of different titles that I considered for today, and I wanted to share those with you in this introduction today. One was The Innocent for the Guilty. And if you're familiar with this passage, you recognize that Genesis, the 22nd chapter, is the passage where Abraham offers up his one and only son, Isaac. And another title that I considered as well was Strange Provision, Strange Command, and Strange Obedience. Not necessarily in order, but I considered those as one component of a title. But as I began to look deeper into this passage, I found that there's this Hebrew tradition that's centered in this passage. And there's really two words that are associated with Genesis, the 22nd chapter. There are two Hebrew words, akata, which means a binding, and nesa, which means testing. So that's how I came up with the title today, The Lord's Supper, Binding and Testing. Now, as we look at this as a broad overview today, I think we do need to understand that in the Old Testament, there is a foreshadowing of things that are going to be coming to the forefront in the New Testament. And I think that we fail to realize this, we either fail to realize it or we just forget about that the ordinances, such as baptism and such as the Lord's Supper that we're going to be doing today, have really deep roots in the Old Testament. Now, here at this church, we believe that there are two ordinances. This is pretty typical of most Baptist churches, that there's two ordinances that you do as after you come to a personal saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, personal saving faith. And the first is baptism, which we witnessed this morning. And the second that we're going to be doing today in a few minutes, the Lord's Supper. And I feel that the Bible teaches that when we come to faith in Christ, that things need to be done in their proper order. So I always like to stress that we need to be saved first, we need to be baptized second, and we need to follow through with communion after that. So we invite our newest members in the church here to participate in that. And by the way, if you're a member of another church, you've been scripturally baptized, you're part of the kingdom of God, you're certainly welcome to join in communion with us today. Now, for the rest of the year, I do want to stress as well that we're going to be looking at Old Testament passages and considering the picture that they give us, about the communion and what it should mean to us and from a New Testament perspective. So I hope you found Genesis, the 22nd chapter. We're going to read verses 1 through 14, and we're going to see this picture. We're going to see this picture of a binding. We're going to see this picture of a testing. We're going to see this picture of the strange command and the strange obedience and the strange provision. So I hope that you can find this place in the Bible and come along with this journey here today through the Word. Now here's what the writer says. Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham. You could put the word tried in there. We're going to expound upon that a little bit here. And he said to him, Abraham. And he said, here am I. Then he said, take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains which I shall tell you. Verse 3. So Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son. And he split the wood for the burnt offering and rose and went to the place which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder and worship. Now, I like what he says after that. And we will come back to you. Let me point out here, God never asks us to give something up that he has no intention to return back to us. Verse 7. But Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. And then he said, look, the fire, the wood, but where's the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for the burnt offering. So the two went together. They came to the place which God had told him, and Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood in order, and he bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched out his hand. He took the knife to slay his son, but the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven, saying, "Abraham, Abraham." So he said, "Here am I." And he said, "Do not lay your hand on the lad, or do not do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." Then Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in the thicket by its horns. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it for a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place, "The Lord will provide. As it is said to this day, the mount of the Lord, it shall be provided." Now may God bless the reading and the preaching and the hearing of his word today. The first thing that we notice here in this passage is taking just really just an honest look at it. This is a strange command here. This is very strange, especially for our culture. But it was a testing. It was a testing of Abraham. Now, on any level, I don't care where you're at, you look at this and you say, I can't join in on this. We join in the narrative, we read it, and how many of us do not think of being Abraham and taking our son, our daughter, or taking our grandchild and going and offering them up, completely snuffing them out of this life? So, in a very real sense, Abraham was being asked to give up everything that he was and everything that he was going to be. And so there are two things that I want to point out about this strange command, because ultimately it comes to this was a testing. This testing or this trial came directly from God. Now, this wasn't Abraham's first rodeo, and Abraham had been tested before by God. He was challenged by God to leave his father and to claim a land that his descendants would inherit, that they would inhabit as well. And the test was to see if Abraham loved God. The test was to see if Abraham cared more for the things of God than he cared for the things of this world, when he asked not only for him to leave his land, but also to take his son, his only son, Isaac. He was being asked, "Do you love God more than anything else that you have?" Now, can I be honest with you today? God asks us the same question as well. Do we really love God more than anything else that we have? And sometimes I think we probably are guilty, just like this pastor is, of saying, "No, there's some things I'm going to hold back from you, God." See, this is the same trial. This is the same test that comes to us. And as we participate in communion today, I mean, we're saying something. We're saying, "Okay, I've given up. I've surrendered. There's nothing that I have, Lord, that is not yours." See, this same trial, this same test comes to us. Listen to the words of Christ from Luke, the 14th chapter, verse 26. "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father, his mother, his wife, his children, his brothers, his sisters, and yes, his own life, he cannot be my disciple." And we get sort of hung up on that word hate. But it's comparison that's given there. What God is saying to us, and I want you to get a hold of this now, he's saying, love less. So, my wife is sitting here in the second row today. Is she first place? She might think she's first place. But ultimately, she comes second place to God. God's first place. See, everything else, in comparison to our love toward him, is second place. Now, by the way, listen. God's not going to ask me to do something to harm her. God's not going to ask me to do something that's going to put her in a bad place. God's not going to ask me to do something for him that won't provide for her. So don't get mixed up there, because we think, oh, we're following God, we're not going to be providing for our family. We have to trust him, and then through him, he works through us, and those needs are met. Isn't that what happened to Abraham? I mean, for Abraham, his son was as good as dead. But he understood without any reservation what God had taken away, he surely could provide again and would provide again. That's the mix-up here that people have. What do you have that's yours? Nothing. What do you have that's God's? Everything. What can he ask you to give up? Everything. What does he give back to you? Everything. Strange test. Very strange obedience. But listen, God was doing something to prove a point to Abraham. God already knew Abraham's heart. God understood Abraham, who he was. It was an illustration to Abraham. Abraham built off of that. When we're asked to do these strange commands, these strange kind of things, man, God is putting us to the test that we can build on it. See, that word testing, by the way, the idea of binding, I use the word nisa, and what that literally means is testing for good. You know, we drive across the bridge. Can I tell you something? And I'm not a fearful person, but I think they've tested the Brent Sprint bridge long enough. They need a new one. Now, every day it's proven it's surviving, but I'm a little worried that it may be past its shelf life. So every time I drive over it, I've been praying a little more. I'm getting ready to drive over it next weekend, so I'll be praying as I go over it. But we drive over things, we drive over bridges to prove that the engineering works. See, we do these things in our life that God calls us to do to prove that his engineering works. Amen? Let's look at the second thing. It's our end screen. Strange command we've talked about. Let's talk about strange obedience. This is the idea of binding here. Now, for Abraham, this was a drawn-out obedience. Can I tell you that our test, our trials, I mean, they come to us in pieces, in waves, little bits at time. And as we get stronger, as we get more attuned to what God would have us to do, man, we become more tested, more tried. See, things got started early that day. That says something to me. Now, Abraham wasn't just dreading this. I'm sure he wasn't happy about it, but he didn't sleep in. He got up and he got after it. And once arriving there, he got the wood, he got the fire, he got the knife, and he carried the two most important elements. Or two of the more important elements, I should say, the wood and the fire, the knife, those kind of things. But his son carried the quintessential element. He was the sacrifice. He was ready to offer him up. Isaac looked all around. He said, look, Dad, you know, we've got all these things, but where's the lamb? And you can't miss over, you can't glass over this thought. As we do communion today, this isn't the body, this isn't the blood of Christ. God provided that long ago. 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ hung between heaven and earth and bled and died for your sin, my sin. So we're just recognizing that today. We're doing this in remembrance of him today. It's a strange obedience. It's a binding. When we do this, we are saying we're bound to something. We're trusting this kind of thing. We're a part of it. What essentially we're saying, and I want you to listen very carefully today. I think we need to be very careful when we participate in communion. Because the Bible teaches that, listen, we can cause ourselves some problems if we're not lined up properly. So make sure you're lined up properly with the Lord. And we're going to have a few moments at the conclusion of this short message about doing that. We need to be lined up properly. We need to be following God. Christ said, anyone that would come after me, you know, you need to follow me. I'm going to do something different in your life. I'm going to make you fishers of men. And immediately the guys, they left their nets. They went after him. They followed him. Amazingly enough, whenever Christ said, follow me, you know, some people did follow, some didn't follow, but those who followed him really, truly followed him. They went after him. They went where he went. Christ walked to the land of the Gadarenes. They went to the land of the Gadarenes. If he walked over to Tiberias on the other side of the lake of Tiberias, they walked with him to the lake over the other side of the lake. Wherever he went, they went. So let me ask you something, my friend. We're talking about obedience. We're talking about binding. Can you really say, I'm going where he wants me to go? Where he's leading, I'm following. Because this is important stuff today. It's not going to get us to heaven, but it surely says we are on our way to heaven. Amen? And we see finally after this testing, after this binding, there was a strange provision. Binding and testing tied together. Now we know from the Old Testament account that we've read that this was a test directly from God for Abraham. I hope today you understand that God tests us. He tests us to examine our character, that we might have a greater faith. We can be tested of God, and we can be tested of Satan, to be sure. When Satan tests us, he's testing us, he's tempting us that we might fall. But when God tests us, when he puts us to the fire, he's trying to refine the impurities out of life. He's trying to help us that we might discover grace. Can't you see the picture here today? Abraham heading up that mountain. And he's got everything that he needs except for one thing. And God's grace miraculously provides that. My friend, God's provided something for you today. His son. That's what he's provided for you. Because honestly, you can't live good enough to get to heaven. I can't live good enough to get to heaven. You can't trust the best 15 minutes that you've lived on this planet to get you into God's heaven. So Abraham, with knife in his hand, he's ready to offer and end his son's life. His hope for the future was going to be stopped with that one single solitary action to his throat. But the sacrifice of Isaac wasn't good enough. Can I tell you something about ourselves? Our sacrifice, and we are to give ourselves, we are to present ourselves, Romans 12, I believe 1, it says, I therefore beseech you, brethren, to present yourself a living sacrifice, which is holy and acceptable. Can I tell you, we are to give ourselves, but it's never good enough. It will never be good enough unless the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ has been applied to your life. It's been applied to your heart. My friend, you're not good enough. Because there's only one standard, and it's God's standard. He established it through the perfect, sinless Son who was made sin for us. I was in Israel a few years back, and it was one of the most enriching and wonderful parts of my Christian education. It was an education over there. You read things in the Bible, you go there, and you see them. I can remember being on the Jordan River, and that's where John the Baptist first saw the Lord Jesus Christ. John looking, he was there baptizing some folks, doing some things, preaching, repentance for the kingdom of God was at hand. But doing all these works, he looked and he saw Jesus Christ. And he said these words, behold the Lamb of God, which has appeared to take away the sins of the world. I think those probably are maybe some of the most powerful words that were ever spoken. Looking, recognizing that Christ was there to make that difference. Now, friends, I want you to listen to me very carefully today. Christ is there to make a difference for you today. If you don't have a personal relationship with him, we're going to be standing in a few moments, and we're going to be giving an invitation. And during that invitation, we're inviting you to do something. We're inviting you to ask Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior. Not inviting you to be a member of this church. Not inviting you to be a member of any church. I'm not real big on church membership. I think there's an importance to it. We stress it here for certain reasons. But ultimately, church membership does not get you into heaven. Only a relationship with God through his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, is what will get you to heaven. So if you don't have the right relationship with God, we're going to be standing, and I'm going to ask everyone to stand at this time. And our worship pastor is going to be coming to lead us in invitation. I want you to understand today, not only for the ones that need Christ as their Lord and Savior, but for our members as well. The story of Abraham and Isaac is just this foreshadowing of the Lamb of God. We're sort of picturing it here today. His sacrifice for our sin. And the Lord's Supper, it's this wonderful picture of a strange command, which is about attesting. It's a strange obedience, which is about binding. We are bound over to what has happened, what has taken place. And the provision has already been provided. The binding and the testing tied together. So our biggest takeaway today should not be that God asked Abraham to give his son away. God asks us to give everything away. That should be our biggest takeaway. God's willing to take whatever you give, my friend, and open it up into life. And life that is everlasting. So think of it this way. What God did for you, that he gave his most prized and most wonderful possession. And that, honestly, friend, you're not worth it. I'm not worth it. But yet, God loved us. We were without strength. We couldn't save ourselves. And he loved you enough that he would give up his very best. That's what we celebrate today. So I'm going to pray today. I'm going to just say a few words standing up, and then I'm going to come to the altar and I'm going to pray. If there's a reason today that God is calling you to this altar, you see some counselors who have walked up into place. You grab one of them or come up and touch my shoulder and say, Pastor Mark, would you pray with me? I'd like to know that I'm going in the kingdom of God today. I don't want to leave here the same way I walked in. I want to walk out different. I want to walk out better. I want to walk out saying I gave it all to God and God gave it all back to me. Would you be willing to do that today? There's some folks here who would love to share with you from God's word how to have that right relationship with him. So let's pray for just a couple of moments here, and then I'm going to finish up that prayer. And if God's speaking to your heart, my friend, meet me at this altar. More importantly, meet the Lord Jesus Christ at this altar. Let's pray. Father, again, we thank you. Thank you for the wonderful illustration that's given through Abraham and Isaac. And Lord, our biggest takeaway is not that God asked him to give his son. It was that we're all asked to give everything away. So, Father, I pray that we'll place that on the altar today. And I ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.